Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. And when you found your place, let's stand together. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
20 years ago this past Thursday, we held the first service for Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was a Sunday evening service from 5 to 6 because we were sharing the property with the Wiley Church of God, now defunct, that went out to Nevada and is now defunct twice. But they were very kind to us, and I'm very thankful for them. But they allowed us to meet here from 5 to 6, and then they had a 6:30 service. I would like to say that it seems like yesterday. The fact is, it seems very long ago and very far away. So many things have happened since then that even in my mind, a lot of it is somewhat fuzzy and cloudy. If a church planning attempt could be voted upon, I'm sure that ours would have been voted least likely to have succeeded. My family of four moved to Garland, planning to start a church in Sachse. And we had very little financial support. I was working a full-time job on a freight dock in Grand Prairie from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., plus an hour drive each way, Tuesday through Saturday. I now give out a list of things for church planners to have before they get started. We had none of those things. We could not find a place to meet in Sachse. We thought that Sachse would be ideal because it would be central. Folks from Garland could come. Folks from Wiley could come. Folks from Murphy would come. But we could not find a place, and a friend told us of a church that was for sale in Wiley, so we drove up to Wiley, drove into the parking lot, which was a gravel parking lot at the time, saw the auditorium, the two-story building, and the gym, and almost turned around and left, because as I mentioned, had almost no money and very little financial support, but we drove to the back where the parsonage was, where our neighbor lives now, just looking at the property from different angles. And a man came out in shorts and came up to me and said, can I help you? And I said, I told him our story. He said, I'm the pastor here. I say he was in shorts because he didn't need to be in shorts. It's just a funny memory I have. But anyhow, he said, maybe we can work something out. And he let us in, and he showed us around. My wife and I said, can we pray for a little while? And he said, sure. So he left, and we knelt over here on the old steps of the platform and spent some time in prayer, but honestly, they wanted $250,000 for the church and the house, and we didn't have $250, much less the ability to finance anything at that point. So we left, and I gave up on it. One day, I drove home from work. We still couldn't find a place to meet. We moved our start date back from September and still had no address to put on our tracks or anything. And I got home after a 10-hour shift and 2-hour drive, And I sat in my recliner, and my wife said, why don't you call that Church of God pastor again? I said, there's no point. I don't have that much money. There's no bother. Why even bother? And next thing I know, she's saying, here he is, and she hands me a phone. And on the other line, under the phone is the pastor, the Church of God pastor here. And he said, well, we sold the house to somebody else, and now we're down to a lot less than $250,000. And we know that you don't have any money. Maybe we can lease it to you. And if you'll let us use the gym to store stuff, we'll actually lease that back from you. And so we ended up signing a lease for 1 year for $1,900 a month, and then they gave us $400 back, so it was $1,500 a month for the use of the church property for the first year on the terms that we would then get financing and purchase it by the end of the year. And that first year, we worked like dogs, renovating the property. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Once we had a place to meet, we started knocking doors, inviting folks to church. And that first Sunday, we had 11 people. That first Sunday evening service, my family of four, including Beth, who was 3, and Becky, who was 2. Becky, who enjoyed the song service and fell asleep during the preaching service, because some things just don't change. The Shirleys had 3, and the Coreys were 2. And there was one other older couple whose name I have forgotten. They only came that one time, and I don't remember their names. And everyone sat on this side, and Brother Corey played the guitar, and I led the singing, and I preached. I think from this passage, I've lost my records on it. And you know, we didn't have anyone saved, and you know, just it was just a start, amen. Then we got to work, and we started planning a grand opening service, and that was in November, and we hoped for a goal of 50. And in a pouring rainstorm, we had 30 that came, including Brother and Mrs. Burkett. And they visited that first time on our grand opening service. And then we got to work and just kept on knocking doors, and I'm still working full time. And some folks started coming to our church, and we grew from 11 to 18, and 18 to 30, and 30 to 40, and high days of around 60, and things were really moving. And then we had to try to finance the property, and we had to raise $42,000 in just a few months' time, because a brand new church with about 20 members doesn't exactly have much of a credit rating or much to show. And yet we were able to raise the 20% down payment. And on September 1st, 2001, yes, the day that our nation was attacked, we also got our first loan, our first financing, and the property became ours. And over those first few years, families came and left, individuals came and left, and some stayed, like the Darts, the Camps, and the Davisons, and the Burkettes. And during all that time, we added ministries, we knocked doors, we started a bus route, van route and a bus route, and expanded Sunday school and renovated our property. The first thing we did was paint it because it was so dingy and dirty. And we refinanced and we supported missionaries and church planners. And yes, we saw people saved and baptized and added to the church. And through all of that, in the first few years, a core group of families coalesced into the foundation of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And thank God for those people early on and those who have come since, and some who have been here 10 years and 15 years. And some of us who have raised our children in this church, and now they're adults, and what a blessing it has been over the last 20 years. Amen. What was a vision on a piece of paper 20 years ago is today an independent, autonomous, self-supporting Baptist church firmly established in Wiley, Texas. A city that 20 years ago had 15,000 people on the population sign, and today has 50,000. A city back then that had no Walmart, no Home Depot. I mean, talking third world. You had to drive to Garland. I remember when the Walmart on George Bush Tollway was the new one. Now you don't go there without mace and a police escort. And none of these housing developments were here. And all of this was growing up. And now, 20 years later, there's in the midst of this booming area and this growing area, here is an independent, autonomous, self-supporting Baptist church who doesn't need money from outside, who supports itself, who's under God, whose head is Jesus Christ, and who is poised to continue to make a difference throughout this area. His Spirit remaineth among us, and there is no biblical reason why the church's best days could not lie ahead. But we need to remember what this church was started to be. God started this church. God sent a young man at 25 years of age to come, and his young family to come and start this church, because God had a purpose for this church. God gave the vision. God opened the doors. God has blessed and provided, because this church was started to be distinctly different. It's not a cookie cutter church with all the contemporary stuff that is so common today. This is a church with a distinct stand, a distinct set of standards, a distinct form of worship, a distinct stand on the Bible, a distinct a mode of practice. These things are different in our day and time. And so my sermon this morning is 20 years later, still Lighthouse Baptist Church. 20 years later, Lighthouse Baptist Church is first still shining. Still shining. People would ask 20 years ago why I chose the name Lighthouse Baptist Church, since we're not on a coastline, you know, if you don't count Lake Levan. So why Lighthouse Baptist Church? But I believe God put that in my heart, because a lighthouse represents what a church ought to be. A lighthouse is built to shine, amen, to shine the light. And here in Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And not only that, but 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so we're not here to shine and say, hey, everybody, look at us. We're here to shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God has come, that He has died for our sins and been buried and rose again, and that anyone can come to Jesus Christ and be saved and saved forever by grace through faith. That is what the light is that we're shining. We've been shining it for 20 years. We've not hidden under a bushel. We have carried it through this town, up and down every street in this town and towns around us, cities around us. Not just here and there sporadically, but weekly, every week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, different times, Sundays, different times, but up and down the streets, person to person, house to house. And through our missionaries, we've tried to shine the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in this world. So 20 years later, we're still shining. 20 years later, we're still standing. We're still standing. You see, for a lighthouse to shine, it has to stand tall. That's why Jesus said a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. It's got to be on an elevated place. Otherwise, it cannot shine the light. If you don't want to put a lighthouse down in a valley, the people have to see, need to be able to see it. And so a lighthouse has to be elevated. It needs to stand tall. And to stand tall, it's got to be firmly founded upon a rock. A lighthouse has to stand the storms, doesn't it? Amen. And folks, our church has been through some storms. We've had financial concerns. We've had people problems. We've had problem people. We've had scatterings. We've had splits. We've had folks that wanted to destroy. We've had folks that took others out. We've had to deal, you know, concerns with church shootings, with viruses, with pandemics, with, you know, with 9/11, with all kinds of things. And yet the church has stood. And Sunday mornings, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, this church has consistently had the doors open and had services, because we need to be founded on something solid, not something that is wishy-washy, not something that is easily moved about, but something that is firm and solid, because it is in the times of the storms that the lighthouse is most needed. And we've stood the storms, and we've seen good times, and we've seen bad times. We've seen times where the pews have filled up, and we've seen times where the pews have emptied. We've seen times where we've rejoiced as people joined the church. We've seen times when we wept as people moved away. And we've stood through those times. We've had times where things were tight, and we've had times where things were bountiful. But you know what? We've always stood on the same spot and had the same position. A lighthouse cannot shine effectively if it's not standing tall and firmly on a solid foundation. And I make no apology for standing strong or taking the strong stand that I've taken for the last 20 years. It has not been easy, I can tell you that. More than a few people have wanted the church to go this way or that way. More than a few people that I cared about didn't like this, didn't like that, wanted it to change. And refusing to do so has had a price tag. Someone's got to pay a price for a church to stay in one spot and stay firmly rooted where it's supposed to be. I take a measure in pride in knowing that we've stood here for 20 years without wavering our convictions. We still have the same Bible, same music, same order of service, or type of service, I should say. Same Sunday school, same soul winning, same gospel, same standards, same convictions. I don't apologize. We've seen kids grow up from birth and through to adulthood in our church. And we haven't had teenage problems in our church. We haven't had teenagers getting in trouble and teenagers getting into sin and things like that. I make no apology for the stands we've taken. They haven't been easy, but I'll tell you something. It's worth it when your kids are clean and pure. It's worth it when your church doesn't have a bunch of drama in the kids' departments because of dating and things of that nature. And it's no fun being the one that says no, 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 no all the time. But if you want to have a church that stands strong, somebody's got to say no. Somebody's got to say these are the rules. Somebody's got to say no, we're not changing this. That's something that is firmly rooted and it's not going anywhere. And it's no fun when you're treated like a bully for having rules, or a dictator, or unreasonable. or someone to be afraid of. No. You've got to take some stands in life. You've got to take some positions and hold them fast. Otherwise, you don't know where you'll end up. And you don't know where things will be. It's not that we have sinless perfection, but we do have biblical standards. And I, for one, don't want to see those things changed. So I encourage you to help your next pastor. And stand with him as he stands for God. Don't cut his legs out from under him with your children, your teenagers, your spouse. Don't treat him like a bully for enforcing rules that you know are rules in the church. Don't be passive aggressive and try to manipulate him or his family. Don't cut him down to your friends or your family or people in the church. That only will hurt you and hurt the church in the long run. It's important that we take the right stand. And if you want things for the next 20 years to have the right convictions, and in 2040, if Jesus hasn't come back, to have the same Bible, the same music, the same type of worship, the same kinds of standards, then it's important that the church have the right pastor that'll take those stands and support the pastor as he takes those stands. This is not an easy time to take stands. But a lighthouse has to stand tall and firm to shine brightly. And what are we founded upon? We're founded upon the Word of God. We stand on the King James Bible. We stand on the doctrines of God's Word. We stand on not looking for new doctrines. We have doctrines that churches have stood for and preached for centuries, all the way back to the time of Christ. We don't need new versions of doctrine. We need to preach the same old truth. Truth is always relevant. And if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new when it comes to doctrine anyway. Our worship services are not modernistic. They're not based on fads. We strive to worship in spirit and in truth. We believe in being godly, having a vital godliness. We don't want to be worldly. We believe that worldliness is fatal. We want to have the right kind of music. We don't sing the hymns because they're ancient. We sing them because they're awesome. We don't need to replace them with music that will be in vogue for a year or two and then out of vogue again. We need to keep the songs that speak to our heart, that teach doctrinal truth, that lift up Christ and don't sound like the honky-tonk, the bar or the club or the rock concert. We stand for Sunday school, soul winning, stewardship, godly homes, training up children, living right. We make no apology for these things. No apology whatsoever. And because we have stood for these things, the light has shined. And it must continue to do so. Then I may say that 20 years later, Lighthouse Baptist Church is still seeking. We're shining, we're standing. Number three, we're seeking. For Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lighthouse Baptist Church is a seeking church. We're not just waiting for folks to come to us. The folks do come to us. And they're welcome. We love when folks drop in as our visitors. But we're not content just to do that. Ever since before we got started, every week, hi, I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're just inviting folks to church on Sunday. I wonder if you have a church home. You say, that's invasive. Yeah, it is. It's invading the devil's territory with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you're going to run people off to where? Hell number two? If they're saved, they should love that we're out. If they're lost, they'll have an opportunity to get saved. And if that bothers them, that says more about them. And that shows how much they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not rude or offensive in any of those ways, but I do believe in going house to house where people are and sharing the gospel and leaving a track. And for 20 years, you know, with 2020 being the perpetual exception to everything. For 20 years, up and down the streets of Wiley, Saxty, Levon, Nevada, Plano, Murphy, Garland, Rockwall, Rowlett, Parker, St. Paul, Allen. We've had a wide-ranging ministry. If you think, well, it hasn't been very effective, it's not because we haven't made the effort. No one can say we haven't tried. Every house in town, I mean, there's so many new houses now, it's hard to stay on top. But for a long time, every house in town got a gospel track every year. What they did with it's their business. For many years, we ran a bus to Garland every Sunday. That meant visiting every Saturday. At times, we picked up 50 kids. One time, we picked up 68 kids on two buses. I think that was our highest attendance ever. And picking up kids from poor neighborhoods, bringing them into Sunday school and church. Some of them came for years and years and years. And we had a bus in Wiley and a bus in Levon, and Wiley and Levon, and then in Garland. And none of that was easy, folks. None of that was easy. Bus ministry is not easy. People say, that's just an easy way to boost your attendance. You obviously have never run one. There's no easy way to run a bus ministry. Often our buses were on their last leg. Y'all still with me this morning? I know this is ancient history. Often the buses we got are the ones that no one else wanted except Mexico. They go from the public schools to Southern Baptist churches to independent Baptist churches. And then from there on, they're in the mountains of central Mexico carrying chickens and, you know, and burros. And I mean, our early buses, I bought a bus for $1,000. How much do you think you get for $1,000? That's how much we got. We had a bus that had a 5-speed, a manual transmission bus. I got so tired of working the clutch and working the accelerator and going through Garland, all the speed bumps and everything. It's like, I need an automatic. And now we have a very nice bus. It's a Cadillac. It's a Rolls Royce of church buses. It just doesn't have air conditioning. I mean, it does half the, I mean, a third of the year, but in the wintertime. But many Sundays started out with a bunch of jumper cables, a van, and a bus, jump-starting it, and just so we could run and pick up kids on Sunday. And I thank God, because up in our offices, folks, we have stacks, stacks, stacks like this of yellow cards, decision cards, for many years of bus kids getting saved, getting baptized, and some of whom are still here today, and some are in other churches today. And so thank God for the bus ministry. I hope that we'll always strive to have some vehicle going out and bringing someone into the house of God who otherwise could not come, and to bring them into the house of God where they might hear the gospel and get saved. Let us not forget that Jesus said, don't just invite those in who can do something for you. Go out in the highways and hedges and bring in the halt and the lame and the blind and those who can do nothing for you, and you'll be blessed. That's been our goal for many years. Many times my wife and I ran out, wore out our cars and tires, picking up folks from Garland and Plano. And you know, and Farmersville, and many of you pick up, some of you pick up folks from church, for church as well. And let us never get tired of reaching people and seeking people, and you know, and finding the ones that maybe no other church wants, but we want them, and to bring them into the house of God and see what God does in their life. Even under COVID, we've tried to reach out through mail outs and track attacks and personal witness. And one lady who was doing one of those, what do you call that when you deliver meals? DoorDash, Meals on Wheels. DoorDash is what I was thinking of. And she would deliver the meals and she'd drop one of our church tracts. And I never got any complaints. Amen. We need to be a seeking church, still shining, still standing, still seeking. Fourthly, still sending. See, Lighthouse Baptist Church was not started to be a selfish church. We began with a vision for the whole world. Our first Sunday, we began supporting 6 missionaries with just my family's missions giving. And, you know, we voted. I proposed, she seconded, it was unanimous, and that was it. 2 of them we still support, the Leslies and Athies, among our first 6 missionaries. And over 20 years, we've sent a lot of money. I don't know how much money. I mean, I know some preachers that can tell you to the penny how much they've given to this and that, and I don't know. I mean, I never have kept track of that. I don't think you should let your left hand know what your right hand. Just do it for God and let God keep the tallies. But I know it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know it's enough money to pay off this property that we still owe $68,000 on and make it first class and all of that. Maybe build a new one next to it, something like that. But we decided early on, this church is not just here for us. The church has to have a worldwide vision. And that means missionaries. And so for years, even when our church shrank a little bit and our finances shrunk a little bit and we didn't hardly have much to deal with, we still made sure our missionaries were supported. And we have always supported missionaries and made missions a big part of our services and had missionaries in all throughout the year and taken up love offerings and given to them. And we've also not only supported foreign missionaries, but local churches and church plants, some of which are still alive and growing and autonomous today. For example, Gospel Light Baptist Church of Roanoke, Texas, is celebrating their 12th anniversary today. Same anniversary we have, Brother Doug Ellis. And we helped support them when they got started. That church is still over there, autonomous, winning souls to Christ, standing for Jesus Christ in a very wealthy area in the shadow of the Texas Motor Speedway. We've supported other pastors who were reviving works, and now their churches are self-supporting. I'm simply pointing out, not to brag, just to point out that we've always been a sending church. We've always not just taken the money in for ourselves, we have taken a significant portion of that and just given it away to missionaries around the world. We've supported the Leslies all these years. When they started the Croatian Bible Translation Project, we were among the first to begin supporting that. We raised a lot of money to help them with that. Now that Bible is completed. This church had a part in that. Amen. We've sent, I don't know how much money. I think we've sent more money to the atheists in the prison ministry. I think we've invested in our children, you know, in their future, in the prison ministry. And how many souls have been saved through that? We're not a selfish church. It's not all about how can we have the nicest facilities for ourselves. It is how can we give as much away into the work of God so that churches are around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has blessed that unselfishness. One dream of mine that's unrealized is that a missionary would be called out of our church and go out of our church. That hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. LBC is still sending. So let us continue to faithfully support missions giving. Our church still shining, still standing, still seeking, still sending. Number five, still serving. Still serving. We've tried over the years to cultivate a servant's heart and emphasize that we don't just come to church to be served. We should come to church to serve. That's a totally different mindset. How many of you remember the service? I had Aiden come up here and I wrapped him in a nice cotton bathrobe and put cucumbers on his eyes to represent and soft fuzzy slippers to represent the country club church where you just come in and they wrap you with a nice warm cotton robe and they massage you and you leave saying, oh, it feels so good. I'm so glad that they served me today. As opposed to coming into a church where they say, here's a towel and a basin, go wash someone's feet. That's a different mentality, isn't it? But that's the kind of attitude we need to have, a servant's heart. We don't have a staff here that does everything. There's a lot of people that are involved in serving. Even many of the little kids serve in different ways around the church. Let's not have the attitude of how can I be served, but is there any way that I can help out and serve others and in doing so serve God? So that should be our desire. We serve God by serving others. It's my hope and prayer that when the current climate changes and all this pandemic and lockdown and all of this is passed and a new pastor is called, that our church will once again grow and thrive in service. That our classes will increase, that our ministry will increase, that some ministries that now are dormant will restart and revive, that new ones will begin, that a full-size bus will run and kids will be coming in on it again. That we'll have some of the expanded classrooms instead of the just right now we're at a minimum Sunday school. I'd love to see that to grow and what it was once was with so many different classes and opportunities for people to serve. So that Lighthouse Baptist Church will again be a strong, active, serving church. But that will largely depend on whether you are still willing to serve and keep on going for the Lord. So let us still be serving. Let us still be seeking. Let us still be sending. Let us still be standing. Let us still be shining. And then lastly, 20 years later, Lighthouse Baptist Church is still telling of a Jesus who's still saving. Still telling of a Jesus who is still saving. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It's the greatest truth in the world, isn't it? And He saves sinners, and the invitation is wide open. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So whosoever will, invitation. If you are not saved, you're not a Christian, you've never been born again, then the invitation is wide open. Why not come to Christ? Why not receive Him by faith as your Savior? He saved me 29 years ago. And many, many, many have been saved in this church over the years. Many have walked this aisle. Many have walked the children's church aisle. Many have bowed their head and trusted Jesus Christ their Savior. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have gotten saved on this property. And He still wants to save people today. And if you've never been saved, the invitation is wide open. Because we're still telling of a Jesus who's still willing to save anybody, anywhere, anytime. So 20 years later, Lighthouse Baptist Church, what was once a vision, is now a concrete reality. Still shining, still standing, still seeking, still sending, still serving, still telling of a Jesus who's still saving. And 20 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come back and we're not enjoying the millennial kingdom, then I hope that that'll still be the testimony of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Still standing, still shining, still seeking, still serving, still sending, still telling of Jesus. Amen.